Joining me now, of course, is Jeff from A Cellar Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all your listeners, or our listeners, as I said before.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a guts. I'll share them.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, well, I can share some pretty good weather, Peter, although we are predicting a little rain tomorrow, and as we were talking about, it's needed desperately everywhere in Australia, or at least the eastern part of Australia.
Yeah.
Desperately dry. We're not a problem for water in the fact that, you know, we are on the, that's unless the Hunter River runs dry, we are on the pipeline that comes from the upper Hunter River, and so the vines do get drip irrigated, but the rest of it's looking pretty dry, Peter, and we're not like the interior. We still have brown grass, you know, because occasionally the dew's heavy enough a little bit, and occasionally there's a few spots here and there. But desperate conditions in eastern Australia, Peter.
Well, we had a little rain here, of course, on the coast, but still noticed that the grass that was green for a couple of days has now turned brown again. So, yeah, we desperately need water.
Yeah, well, see, the problem is, Peter, when grass still has a little bit of life left in it, even 5 or 10 mils will perk it right up. But if it's actually died over, you know, through being too dry, it won't risk the root reserves unless it gets more like, you know, 20 to 40 mil.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It has to grow. It has to have enough moisture in the ground to grow and seed to propagate. And so
that explains it.
Exactly. So you can perk up grass, you know, that looks pretty ragged with a bit of water, but to get dead grass going takes a lot. And that's what the farmers face in the interior. You know, they're, a lot of the fields are dirt patches, and there's grass down there underneath, you know, with its root reserves, but it won't risk it unless it gets, you know, really quite sustained rains. And there's where the problem comes in. We just haven't had them.
I know. And I mean, you've got your own bore, and that's not working very well.
Yes, we're cut it back. We don't want to, you know, it's well down. It's in an underground stream, but, you know, how long do they last, these underground streams? So we're talking off air, Peter. You know, we've been watering through winter. I mean, everything's dormant. But the concern we have is the water table is so low that, you know, when spring comes, where are the grapevines or plants going to get their water from? It's unbelievably dry.
Well, I have a neighbour, and he's out there, you know, watering the garden and everything. I said, mate, cut back. We need the water. He said, no, I'm paying for it. I'm going to use it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, you guys, of course, live on the coast. You don't get, you know, hots and colds like the rest of us do out here in the hinterland, Peter.
No, you're not that far away.
Yeah, it's true. We're only an hour from Newcastle. Sometimes it seems like another world.
Yeah, sometimes, particularly when you get held up in traffic. I agree with that. Mate, have you got your investigative hat on this morning?
I do, yeah. The weed guys are going to be in serious trouble, Peter, and I mean the ones that put it between their lips and puff on it. They just announced this morning that they've developed a new breathalyzer that can detect marijuana. In the United States, I forget what the slogan is now. It's something like I'll look for it in the. They have signs up, you know, like get high and get high and DUI, you know.
Well, I guess it's a case of huff, puff, and busted.
So anyway, they are. It's about the same size as an alcohol breathalyzer, and they hope to have it in service in the United States fairly quickly, and it won't be too long in Australia. And it's going to be, here it is. It says, drive high, get a DUI. That's the government road signs in the States. So, it won't be too long, Peter, and you'll be puffing on the alcohol one, then you'll be puffing on the marijuana one, and then you'll be just puffed out, right?
Yeah, then you got a licky, licky, licky for the drug one.
Exactly. So anyway, as a heads up to all those toters out there that life's about to get a bit more difficult.
Yeah, well, so it should too. I mean, I've been looking at news items on the last few days, and, people are driving into houses and shopping centres and running over people and smashing into telegraph poles. And nine times out of ten, they've been huffing and puffing.
Yeah. Well, it's not really too sure why. They're not cognizant of the discussions you and I have come across, Peter, the research. I think it was 11 or 12% reduced brain capacity, even if you smoke marijuana once. That's an incredible difference.
Yeah.
It is. And then, half the kids are, been through this. So it's, not good. Not good at all, Peter.
So if you smoke dope, you become a dope.
Exactly. I fortunately never did. When I was at, I went to university in Vancouver at the time when Vancouver was the hippie capital of North America. And just about everybody from the, not just Canada, but from the States moved there as well. There were tens and tens of thousands of them living everywhere in parks, and because the welfare and the social service system was much better. And right. And of course the climate wasn't bad either. And they actually did achieve, I think we talked once, they saved Stanley Park because like 10,000 of them moved into where they were going to do some development. And the government just, every time they arrested them, let them go, they would just went right back to the park. They didn't care.
And speaking they were of that, yes, I've seen in Melbourne the do-gooders are protesting and the police eventually move in and move them on.
Yeah, but they can't. There was too many. Where are you going to move 10,000 people? Anyway, they saved the park in the end. They were there for like years, probably 5 years. I noticed there was a, in the newspaper I saw it actually, there was a big reunion of the hippies of the 60s from Vancouver.
Oh, right. So another 10,000 come back.
Yeah, there was a lot more than 10,000. There was just 10,000 living in the park.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Anyway. Well, the only thing I object to these people who are demonstrating, they have a right to demonstrate, but what I don't like is that they block all the traffic and inconvenience everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we didn't have that trouble so much in Vancouver, which had to watch. They used to step in front of cars, hope to get injured a bit, but not a lot.
Listen, I'm glad you raised that because, we are getting used to light rail, I think. And there's all notices saying, there's a tram there, be careful. And they just walk out. They don't even look. They walk out. What they've got to realize is the tram is much heavier and bigger than you are.
Yeah, it doesn't have rubber wheels. Well, I don't know. Maybe the new ones do. The underground in Paris, half of it has rubber wheels.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does your new tram system have steel wheels or rubber wheels?
It has steel wheels.
Steel wheels, yeah. Well, it makes noise then. I think the idea in Paris, well, I'm not sure what their idea was, but I don't know if you've been to, well, this wasn't recent. This is 20 years ago since I was in Paris, but a good percentage of the underground transportation system, the subway, has rubber wheels, not steel wheels. So
that's interesting. Mate, I look at it this way. If you are that damn stupid to walk out in front of a tram or a bus, you deserve to get hit.
Those guys are not looking for a soft touch and a few bucks when you walk in front of a tram. When you walk in front of a car, you try and pick one that's going relatively slowly.
Well, that's the thing. Speaking of slowly, they've said that, the light rail can run at 40 kilometres an hour in case it runs into somebody. Oh, come on, please. Find your accelerator and run it at regular speed. And the thing I noticed in Newcastle, I have never heard, the ding, ding, where you hear a lot in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got to ring their bells a bit more. That's bells, people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Peter, there's some good news, actually, today, published this morning, actually. Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York just finished a human trial on prostate cancer.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, they use gold nanonites in...
Spit it out, Jeb.
They put it into the... blood system into the prostate, and then they treat it with radiation to heat it up. It's an outpatient procedure, and they had, I think, 16 patients in the first trial, and a year later, they eradicated the cancer 100%.
Wow.
It's outpatient treatment, and in a year, only two showed signs of any return. So the rest of them were cancer-free after a year. So this is an outpatient treatment, and hopefully, since it's one of the leading causes of cancer death in men, hopefully this will be available everywhere. And the good thing about it is that if your cancer returns in a year, it's going to be much smaller because it's detected much earlier. They do a treatment again, outpatient treatment, and off you go.
Fair enough. Sounds terrific.
Yeah, it does. It's a real breakthrough, I think. And I think a lot of men, for those of you that do have, I don't know how long it's going to take to get to Australia, but it was just published today in the journal of whichever journal it was. It came, but it's the Mount Sinai School of Medicine that did the study, for those of you that want to go to the internet and have a look. So, yeah it's a great breakthrough because, you know, prostate cancer to men is probably, you know, breast cancer to women. And so
I read an article where that's actually in men, prostate cancer gets many more men than what breast cancer gets ladies.
Yeah, it is a critical issue for sure. It's one of the leading killers of men in the United States. 11% of men, I'm just looking at the article now, 11% of men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. So, you know, and they're talking, this treatment is an outpatient. You go in the morning and they give you a treatment and you get up and go home in the afternoon. So it's... you know, it's a really, really great breakthrough.
That's for sure. And it's going to cut the cost down of treating all those people. And I guess at the end of the day, it's all about keeping Willie well.
It is. Yeah. So anyway, another great cancer. I look, honestly, Peter, I read about them again and again and again. Most of them we don't discuss because they're so technical that, you know, it just doesn't sort of fit what we talk about, but you know, ones like that, you know, we just have to talk about because
what a breakthrough.
Yeah, and another one, Peter. This is a no-brainer. They have found that children, and they did this study in the Salinas Valley, which is a huge agricultural area in the United States. For your listeners never been to California, you can drive for hundreds and hundreds of kilometers through Southern California. We think of it as being very dry, but it produces, I think I read that it produces enough vegetables to feed 200 million people. So you can go hundreds and hundreds of kilometers through fields of vegetables. And organophosphates, Peter, which are part of the pesticides in the United States. They have found, they've studied children from the Salinas Valley and from other agricultural areas in Southern California, and they're now able to look at their brains, you know, with all types of scanning equipment, and they've found teens that were exposed to organophosphates, particularly prior to birth, their mothers, and then grew up in the area. They have higher prenatal organophosphate exposure, has less blood flow to the frontal cortex when engaged in tasks that test cognitive flexibility and visual working memory, and that they had more blood flow to the parietal and temporal lobes during tests of linguistic working memory. And it's reduced capacity. It has been known for quite some time that the kids from these areas have neurological deficit in cognitive testing and attention deficit syndrome. So if anybody doubts, you know, that chemicals are killing us and destroying the quality of life of our children, you know, it's studies like these that they should read. So, and it's not the only way you get it. They're talking about here, most likely, higher exposure due to airborne transportation. But don't forget, organophosphates are on just about everything you eat, Peter.
Yes, yes, they are.
You buy it in the supermarket, you can almost bet it's got organophosphates on it, because that's the most common pesticide used in the world.
Yeah, right. So you buy it, then you get fried.
It is. And as we know, the intelligence of the human race is going down, Peter, since 1975, consecutively every decade. IQ of the population is decreasing.
Oh, look, I agree with that. Get on my bus occasionally.
Yeah, and here's another one that just supports all those studies, Peter, that they even tell you what's causing it. Yeah. You know, in our case, we think it's because of plastics, you know, leaking of phthalates causing the issues. But all the health issues, I mean, you know, we've talked time and time again about cancers 25 to 40% higher, some types of cancers 200% higher for people that are exposed. So
why do you think people ignore all this this data?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, the dinosaurs ruled the Earth for 260 million years. And one of the reasons is, Peter, they didn't poison themselves to death.
That's right. They didn't.
And we're not going to last 260 million years. We mammals are going to have very short tenure at the rate we're going. So anyway, that's all the good news, Peter. Good news is prostate cancer. Looks like there's a simple cure now. So the bad news is, same as it is every week, Peter, we got to avoid foods that have been sprayed. They have less nutrition. They've got 15 carcinogens, endocrine disruptors on them, according to, at least the non-organic wine does, according to our friends at PETA. And we got to try and make sure our diet, Peter, go to the market or go to your local farmer, buy it directly, and make sure he's not spraying what you're eating. So,
I was talking to someone about that the other day, and of course, I think this weekend is the Maitland markets, and a lot of people go there, of course.
Yeah. Well, Peter, it's simple. You just look the guy in the eye and you say, "Did you spray those fruits and vegetables?" And if he says yes, you go to the next guy and ask him.
And eventually you form, I notice you form very sincere friendships with people that have great produce. And, well, I mean, then it's easy.
You do. And when you find somebody that goes to the trouble of raising his fruits and vegetables without spraying poisons on them, and he finds a customer that appreciates it, you do form a bond immediately, yeah. Peter. Because he recognizes you as somebody that's enlightened. And you're buying fruits and vegetables that have been tested dozens and dozens of times to be 30 to 50% higher in nutrition,
yep,
not to have all those poisons, and of course not to have mycotoxin poisons on them, which a very large percentage of the sprayed produce does have on it.
What I say to people is, would you really eat that if you knew it was going to poison you?
Yeah, I think if... you know, when we talked about the Dirty Dozen, one strawberry had 21 identifiable poisons on it. They just bought it from a supermarket.
Yeah.
I think if the fruit and vegetables came with a list of every single poison that was on that fruit, nobody would buy it.
That's right. Yeah, if they only realized what they were buying. Oh, listen, a little aside information before we check the website. I actually tried sushi yesterday.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's
very
one
nice.
Of my favorite. One of my favorites, Peter. We're sailors, as you know, Bob and I, and we catch fish all the time. We rarely ever cook it. And so...
No, it was lovely.
Like it,
and the people that served me, they were a delight to talk to. There wasn't many smiles at first.
Yeah.
But when he looked at me again, I gave him the thumbs up, and the beaming smile from those people was enough.
Yeah.
It was really lovely.
Yeah. It's been in the news a bit lately because, our world is deteriorating and some of the sushi, you got to be careful where it comes from.
Yep.
And I don't ever eat sushi from farm fish, even though, maybe it doesn't have any of the natural hazards in it, but it's full of antibiotics. They have to, because it's like, you keep sheep in a paddock, you've got to worm them all the time, and that's same with fish. So, but anyway, that's great, Peter. I'm glad that you're expanding. I love all types of sushi and shrimp. And
I can't have shrimp, and I can't have rock seafood, but I can have chicken, which was nice. Pardon me.
I can have chicken sushi, Peter. Sushi is raw, so. You sure you didn't have teriyaki chicken?
It was some was chicken.
Was it cooked?
Yeah, it was, actually. It was...
it's not sushi. Sushi and sashimi are raw.
Oh, okay.
Raw fish, raw shrimp.
All right, we've got to get a bit...
Sushi... sashimi is just the fish itself, the raw fish itself, and sushi is on rice. It sits on a bed, on a little rice paddy.
Yeah, that's right.
On top of it, yeah.
And green vegetables and everything. It was lovely.
Yeah,
Matt, we've got to get people, speaking of the good things, to get to your website.
Yes. Acellawines.com.au, mix and match down to a 9-pack, Peter, and free delivery Australia-wide. No excuse, no chemicals, no poisons in this wine, Peter, and, of course, much higher nutrition in the antioxidants.
And a very friendly delivery driver, too.
Yes. We ship them out usually in this area, Sydney Basin area. You'll get them the next day, so...
Not bad, is it?
No excuse. Order it today and ship it tomorrow, and you'll have it for the weekend.
Sounds awfully good to me.
Yeah, me too, Peter.
All right, mate. Nice to talk to you.
Yes. Well, we'll catch up next week. And just to remind everybody, the weather has been absolutely spectacular up here. Yep. We hope to get a little shower tomorrow, and by the weekend, we'll be back fine and sunny again.
Sounds good. All right, mate. Nice to get all the gossip, and we'll do it again.